Hey, Joshua chapter 1, some guys will be passing Bibles out, and you can indicate your need, and they will throw one at you. Hey, so Joshua chapter 1, check it out. We're in a really fun season in this, like, we're doing Acts Sunday, and we're doing the book of Joshua on Wednesday nights, and it goes together in a really fun way. It's things being conquered. It's going into new places that we've never been before. God's promises, like we sang tonight, are coming fulfilled, and we're walking in them. And so that's what like we want. And I hope that tonight even is a chance for you guys to really sit and hear the Lord speak. A lot of it's concerning spiritual warfare. When we read what happened in Joshua, it's just so easy to apply it to our lives spiritually in the battles that we fight. And how things go on, because it's serious stuff. And I hope that you guys recognize it tonight even, that the Lord will speak to you in a special way and bring you to a place where we see this is serious. That we have a battle that lies before us. I was going to show you this clip from a guy named Eric Luthe. He has this, I don't know what you'd call it, a sermon jam, maybe you'd say. It's him preaching, and he's like, he gets really fired up. Like, he yells type of guy, right? And he gets fired up, and he was discussing, he was chatting about this concept here in Joshua, this Hebrew phrase, rock kazak. And it comes from what we're going to deal with today, be strong, courageous. It's kazak amatz, or amatz, or whatever it is, however you say it. And in that, he just makes it really clear, we are in a battle, and it's real, and it's serious for the souls of people. And there is a real enemy, and there is a real entity that hates you, and that wants to see you be miserable and drug off to hell with him. And that's the reality of it. I think sometimes we become inoculated to his devices and so on. We just don't see it. You know, I can be prone to that. I go about my day and we live in a natural world where I feel things and see things and smell things. And yet there's a world that's even more real than that beyond my own senses. Why do we believe that? Because the Word of God tells us that, right? We recognize it and praise the Lord for those whom he's gifted with discernment. What a valuable person you are to this fellowship and this church to be able to navigate. And the way that you pray is so valuable. Please keep it up. Because even as a fellowship, like, there's serious stuff that goes on. Lives of people, right? And it's like, man, we fight a battle. But here's the greatest part of it all. The greatest part is we have Jesus, okay? I know you guys know that, but like in him, my goodness, you guys, everything. Everything, victory. In him, we have it all. And so, like, I could probably be done now because that's really it. In Jesus, we have it all, everything. And I just suppose it's a matter of believing it, right? It's a matter of appropriating it, walking in it, living it out on the daily, like to choose to believe it. And walk in it. If it's true, I want to walk in it. If it's false, this is a big waste of time. Right? What are you doing here? But you believe it's true. You're sitting here right now. And so, you know, that's basically it. That's the sermon for tonight. There in a nutshell. Now you have to hear me expound on it. Now you have to listen to me expound. No, I'm really sorry. I think you'll be blessed by it. I really hope. All right, let's pray. Jesus, we really need you. Enough of me, but Lord, would you speak and help us to understand it. This is your world. This is your church. This is your stuff. And we ask that you would speak very clearly through your word. And so thankful we have it, that we don't have to wonder. We don't have to guess. We have it right here. It's solid. It's truth. And the enemy wants to speak lies. He's the father of lies. And yet you've given us the truth. We never have to wonder. And so, God, help us to look to your word. Help us to learn to hear your voice. And so even tonight, Father, would you do that sweet work in our hearts that we would be drawn to you, Jesus? You are everything. And all we need is you. And so teach us that. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Joshua chapter 1. Here we go. We did a review, right, last week, and about Joshua, who he was and all that he had gone through and how God had raised him up to the place where he was at. And he was Moses' assistant, but he had a heart for the Lord, right? He hung out there in the tabernacle. If you can recall, the Aaron and his friends, his two sons and then the elders, they went up to the mountain kind of, and God said, "Hey, Moses, come on up here." Joshua's somewhere in between there. And they kind of took off, right? You guys remember this? They went down there and they started doing their thing. They're crafting this idol. But Joshua stuck it out. And we thought that was such an instructive passage of scripture where he stayed, right? That was from Deuteronomy where he, Exodus, where he stayed. He stayed. He didn't move. Where did God have him? Well, right there, apparently, right? And he stuck it out. That can be so difficult, I know. But now it's like, now we're in a section of go, right? Now we're in this Joshua place and it's a matter of go. When we're in the book of Acts, it's a matter of go. There's stuff to be done. We can't continue perhaps going in the same way we've done it before. Like, God's stirring us up. And so be it. Joshua is the man. Super excited to see what God does through him, right? As we read this. Notice this section, though, in chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. It came to pass, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, this is one of the first times that God will speak directly to Joshua. And now Joshua is going to kind of wear that mantle, so to speak, where he's leading the nation of Israel, and God is going to speak through him. And as he goes through this, no, keep this in mind, how faithful God is to speak, all right? Let that not be lost on us tonight, because it's going to become necessary and vital that we realize that God speaks to us. And like, we have it right here. And I was even reminded tonight how important it is that this right here is the centerpiece of what we have. And I had read a quote, if you don't mind, I'm going to read it one more time. This is from last week. The constant teaching of God's written word to the people was the safest, most effective way to guard against the corruption of their religion. It's what preserves in so many ways, right? And so we hold fast to it. We don't go through the word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, only because Chuck Smith did, right? He found something. He kind of tapped into something and we're like, man, that's a really good idea. You guys might remember, if you've ever heard him share a testimony about it, when he was hanging out there in Costa Mesa, and the surfing was really good. You guys ever hear this story? Why did he do this? Well, he had had kind of 2 years of just playing topical sermons, and he came to the end of that, and he's like, man, the surfing's so great here. I don't want to leave, you know? And so he's like, well, I suppose I could teach through Philippians or whatever it was. And so he does this. And as simple as that, but we have like this as a model, but we don't do that simply because he did it, right? I mean, people have been doing this for a long time, thousands and thousands and thousands of years. This is what we do. It's safe. It also is more than just safe, right? We don't want to just be content to be safe. Who wants to live that way? I don't want to just be safe, man. There's stuff out there that's dangerous and we get to engage with it. It's safe as far as keeping us where we ought to be and keeping us within the confines of what we would call truth, right? Because there's a bunch of baloney out there. There's a bunch of crazy stuff that is like almost truth, but it's not. And as time progresses, you guys know how this goes. A little bitty off, and then like 10 years from now, where are you? And I was thinking back, I was sharing a story. I do not recall to who, but have just had youth throughout the years who were dear friends, guys who I loved, guys who were super involved in our ministry. When I was doing youth ministry, we had a Monday night man study, we called it. We studied as men the Bible, right? Not men. We studied the Bible, right? Man study. Making sure we're clear. And every Monday night, right? It was just the most fun. It was the best. Chase was always there. Where's Chase ever yet? Yeah, he's somewhere in here. He was always there. Chase was there. Other dear friends. But man, I'll tell you what, some guys they let go of this. And be quite honest with you, this is just kind of anecdotal. It's just a story, but I'm sure you guys know and the temptation to like lighten your grip on it, where you're like, well, I don't really, that you guys hear it from the garden. Like, did God really, speak through a donkey? Come on, come on. Surely not. Did the sun really stand still? Like, surely not, right? did Jonah really get swallowed by a whale? Who believes that? Like, are you in Sunday school, right? Come on, amen. 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 I am being facetious, just so we all know. And it's like those questions begin coming up, like, I don't know. And then it's like, well, hey, man, have you considered, like, the resurrection, maybe? Like, that's pretty crazy, you know, a dead person coming alive again. Well, yeah, I believe that. It's like, come on, buddy. That's inconsistent, right? But it's just slowly like, I don't know. I'm going to kind of distance myself from some of this. But, man, we have something so valuable. And I know I'm harping on it, but it's just become like, I guess in my mind, it's become so much more real that there's a lot of stuff out there, you guys. And God has spoken. Oh, isn't that great? And we can rest right there. And we can build upon it because I'm not, like I'm saying, I don't want to just be safe, right? Life is too short to just be safe. There's a motorcycle company called Go Fast, Don't Die. And it was what their moms always yelled to them as they were going out the door, like, go fast, but don't die, you know? And I really appreciate that. I love it. I think that's a neat little motto even for life. Like, go fast, but don't die. My wife hates the fact that I have a sticker on my helmet that says that. But it's a fun little saying, and they have like different sayings like chase your fears and things and like safety second, you know, stuff like that. But there's a sentiment about it. You guys gather with me, like there's a sentiment about it that means something important, I think, for like believers. Like, who has time to sit around and like do a bunch of nothing? Like, there's stuff going on out there, and like you guys are the ones that God has chosen to use to inject yourselves into the world to do stuff. It's just hard. It gets messy. When you're dealing with people's lives, it gets really messy. All that to say, God spoke to Joshua. Okay. Verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. We'll kind of just pause there for a second because as we progress through this, you guys are going to read. I'm going to read. We're going to do it together because you're stuck here. No one's keeping you here, but here you are. Like two audacious promises. I mean, absolutely audacious promises by God. And you're going to see four different encouragements that God offers the people. And you're going to see two, I suppose you could say promises again, though I would wish to find a different word because it'd make it sound cooler. But two promises, two things that God says that he'll be with us. And so as we progress through this, you're going to see these things unfold before our very eyes. But before that, notice what is said in chapter 1, verse 2. It's time to arise, right? Well, why? Because they had mourned, right, for a good long time for Moses. And rightfully so, Moses was the man. Nobody was more humble than he was, according to himself, which was important. And so here he is, this important guy, Moses, and he's gone. And so the nation mourned, and it seems as though God was saying, like, hey, it's time to go. And so arise. Now, what does it mean to arise? I'm glad you asked. Time to go, right? Consider this stuff. It means it's time to go. Right now. And don't wait. That there's something happening. That God is bringing something up. And it's like time to go. Get up. What can you do when you're down? Not a whole lot, right? Get up, right? Can't do a lot of work sitting. And I try to teach my kids that when they're like chopping wood or doing something. You can't sit down and do it. You don't have the force. You can't do this thing. You can't crank on a tire iron when you're sitting down nearly as well as if you're standing like this and going, right? Get up and do something. And so we're teaching this to them. But here's a word for the church, right? It's time to go right now. Don't wait. There's work to be done. God's speaking to Joshua, get up. Arise, it's time to go do something. And what he was calling him to do was crazy, right? But the promises God lays out before him in verse 3 and then verse 5 are crazy. I even looked up the word audacious because I've like heard it and I know that it fits within that context, but I was like, I want to know and make sure it's a good word for this. Crazy promises. Go in your Bibles really quickly to Nehemiah chapter 2 so we can look at kind of maybe one other illustration of this. Nehemiah is right after Chronicles. I totally found it. Ezra and then Chronicles and Ezra then Nehemiah. It's one of those books. It's like, man, I know where it is. And here I am up here not having marked it. And that could have been embarrassing. But I found it. Don't worry about it. Thank you. I found the book of Nehemiah, guys. You're in good hands. Oh, man. All right. Nehemiah chapter 2. You guys will recognize this verse. It's just so classic. It's good. In fact, this is kind of the verse that God had put on our athletic director's heart for last year's athletics, and it's really carried on into this season of athletics and the school. It's verse 18. Oh, it's all so good, right? Oh, but let's just do verse. No, let's read verse 17. Because he says, "Then I said to them, 'You see the distress that we're in now, and how Jerusalem lies waste. Its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach.' And I told them, verse 18, of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me." Isn't that cool? "And also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. And so they said, 'Let us rise up and build,'" right? Then they set their hands to this good work. Let us rise up and build. It's time to do something. He's like, man, I told them about how good God had been to me. I told them about what the king had said. They're like, let's go. They're excited about something. So what I need you guys to think about tonight, right, as we move through this, is what is God speaking to you? Has he stirred your heart up for something? Ministry. Has he stirred your heart up to be reaching out to somebody? Has he stirred your heart up for foster care, for reaching out and doing this or serving this people, so on and so forth? What is God stirring up? And be careful. Write it down, man. If you feel like it's God, like write it down, because I'm gonna challenge you tonight, okay? In the best, most wonderful possible way. You don't have to be afraid, but it's time to arise, right? Let's go and build. So just consider this and don't be afraid to do that. Like, it'll be good. It'll be something for you guys to pray through, something for you guys to consider. What is God doing in your life? What's he stirring you up to do? So on and so forth. Let's look at verse 3. "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses." Okay, we'll stop there. Because why? Because that's a crazy promise. That's a statement. Is that a promise? Probably. I suppose it's just a statement. It's an audacious statement. And then the other two can be promises. There we go. We have two audacious statements, four incredible encouragements, and two really neat promises. There we go. How about that? Okay. Are you guys reading this with me? You guys see that? "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you." That's crazy. That's crazy stuff. The word audacious means very bold and daring. Impudent, almost oftentimes used in a negative connotation, right? Shameless. But so confident is God in his promise. Do you guys read this? When I read through this, I'm like, wow, that is quite a statement. "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I've said to Moses." Now, last week we went through and talked about all the times that God said, "I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to give you the land. I'll give you the land," like 11 different times. And there's probably more that I missed. But how can this be? Okay, really quick. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And we'll look at a very similar passage, because God's repeating himself. We can trust him. We sang tonight, "I will rest in his promises," right? My confidence is in his faithfulness. And I'm telling you, that's it tonight. Everything is in Jesus. And those lines of that song right there, like, summarize everything. "I will rest in his promises." Like, maybe even tonight, like, we can be really encouraged to do that very thing right there, to rest in what he has spoken. Because if God says, "Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you," then guess what he means? "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you." Now it's a matter of like, Lord, I want to walk in that. And so, like, rise up and go. If that's his promise, then then go, right? And so what we're trying to do is like, okay, God, what have you spoken to me? And what are these promises? And so you have to think, well, where is that place? And that can be different for each and every one of you. What is the place that God has for you? And wherever you're supposed to go, you've got to trust he'll have it be done. We can trust him for that. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And let me, in Joshua, I'll finish this verse, verse 4. 3 and 4 kind of go together. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. It's what God said. He declared it. And guess what? It's going to happen. Deuteronomy chapter 11. We'll start in verse 18. It says, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart. Let's pause for 1 second and reread that, okay? Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you will teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. What are we talking about? God's word. This is in particular the law, right? They're referring to. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, everywhere you go, a reminder of what God has spoken. Okay, that's what we're looking at. That's what we're reading right here. And we're remembering that they said, every single place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you. This is what he says, okay? Verse 21, and I'm in Deuteronomy. That your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I have given you to do, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to hold fast to him. Isn't that such a sweet promise? Okay, Lord, he's asked us to do what? Love him, to walk in his ways and to hold fast to him. Isn't God so good? Then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourself. And I love that verse because who in the world are we? But greater is he who is in us than he who is in this world. And so the nation of Israel was going to be underarmed. They were going to be undermanned, and yet they had the Lord. That's all they needed. All they needed was him. And that'll be something we read throughout this whole entire time. We have everything in Jesus. Everything. Every place. Oh my gosh, do you guys recognize that? Verse 24. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, to the western sea shall be your territory. And we can't read verse 25 yet because we'll be skipping ahead. So let's just pause there. Go back to Joshua. Every single place you put the sole of your foot, it's yours. And there's a spiritual battle, and there's actually spiritual ground that can be taken in a person's life. You are the Lord's. When you're born again, you become his. We'll look through some scriptures there. But to encourage you, what areas of your life are yet to be conquered? Are there things going on in your heart? Are there areas of secret sin? Are there places where you're like wrestling through that God doesn't have, that you have not like, oh, okay, God, I don't know. Like, hey, write it down, right? Confess it to him. He already knows it, right? He already knows it, and yet there's this area, it's like, man, God said this is to be conquered in him, so what is it? And then we can do business with him, right? He like convicts me in my heart and reveals things, and you guys sit quietly before the Lord, and you're reading through scripture, he'll bring things to your mind, and you're like, oh man, I got to deal with that, or I got to confess that, you know, to my wife or to somebody. He brings these things up, like there's areas in my heart. There's activities or behaviors or thought processes or things like that in my life, me personally, that are need to be dealt with, right? And are still battles and things that need to take place. But the truth is, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I'm going to give it to you, right? That God's promised us victory. Now, I'm relating this, obviously, to the work done in Christ now, okay? So we'll get to that eventually, though I'm speaking in those terms now. What God was promising Joshua was actually like, it was real. There was actually real ground that they were going to be walking on, right? Real territory. There were real battles with real swords and spears and arrows and things like that, and that they were going to have to go against. So I don't want to take away from that. What I'm doing is saying, hey, this is an example. 1 Corinthians would explain that, right, as well. Like, these things are given to us as an example. We can learn from them. And so obviously I'm applying these things, right? But do keep in mind as we go, this is real. This actually happened. It's history. God very faithfully dealt with people in real time and space. And because of his faithfulness then, we can trust he'll be faithful now because it's the exact same God. And he loves us just the same. These are his people, Israel, so special in his eyes. But we are his bride, and he loves us just the same, right? Here we are, and so we get to see his faithfulness, and we apply it to our lives today. Okay, where is the enemy entrenched? Ask God to reveal it. He'll speak. He'll reveal it. He'll open up your eyes, and we can deal with it. Sin, a cleansing, like, let's get this stuff out. You know, these people were irritants. These people that were being driven out were people who were against God. And so they need to be rid of the land. And so think about it this way. Hey, a couple encouraging scriptures that relate to this. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is 45 through 46. You will know exactly what it is when I read it. Then David said to the Philistine, and you guys know who that one is, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." Oh, isn't that so cool? Let that rest for a second and just resonate. "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." Just imagine the millions of angels and all the army of heaven, right? And David's like, that's who I'm coming to you with. Ooh, man. "The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Whew. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." That's some hardcore trash talk, isn't it? I mean, that's real. That is serious trash talk right there. I've never said that. Right? We'll go and we'll watch some UFC fights and you don't hear that kind of trash talk. Like, that stuff's real, right? "Man, I will give your carcasses to the birds." That's intense, you guys. But what's wild is, like, it actually was true. There was such a confidence that David had in his God. Why? Because there had been small victories that David had in his life, like the bear and like the lion, right? David had seen God act on his behalf time and time again, and he was confident. Like, but we've had the same thing. We have the same exact God. We might not fight a physical Goliath, right? We might not actually have to fight a real person. We probably won't. But undoubtedly, this stuff translates over spiritually into our lives today. And oftentimes, you will see applied to sin. That there are things in our lives that defies God. And it's still in my life. And yet, we can go to in the name of Jesus and say, "Hey, this is what I have," right? Is it a battle still? Yes, of course. Do we have the victory? Yes, of course. Walk in it. Every place you put your foot, it's yours. That's a promise we have in the Lord. But it's what Christ has done. It goes on in Isaiah 54, 17. You guys will know this. And I know contextually it's dealing with God speaking to the nation of Israel. But please keep in mind as we apply it to our lives today that this is the same God who feels the same way about us. I'm not trying to confuse the nation of Israel with us today. They're very separate. God deals with them separately. But this is the same God, and these things are still true, I believe, for today. This is Isaiah 54, 17. You'll know the verse. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." And we'll get to the New Testament equivalent of that in 2 Corinthians here in a second. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn." This is the heritage, right? Check it out. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Isn't that cool? I feel like that could very easily be applied to us today. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Isaiah is talking to Israel, guys. Okay, I understand that. Same God, same promises, deals with us in a very similar fashion as far as the spiritual battles that we fight. This is the heritage. This is what you get when you're the servant of Jesus. This is what you inherit, right? All that we have in Christ, that's what we have. And their righteousness, how cool is this, is from me. We could say that right now, right? You might as well have put that in the New Testament because that's the same exact truth we have today. Our righteousness comes from him, Jesus Christ. Now, let's roll over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll kind of get maybe the New Testament equivalent of such a thing. And you guys will know these verses. You'll be very, very familiar with them, more than likely. So turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Does it ever amaze you that water is the best? And it's just this clear liquid, and yet it like feeds your soul. And it like, I don't know, what do you call it? It quenches your thirst. Just water. Isn't that interesting? Just this clear liquid. And yet it does something so cool. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. So consider that for a second. What's it mean? We're in the flesh. We have this thing, right? But we don't war according to the flesh. And when I had originally talked about, like, there's a battle that we face as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ. We believe in a spiritual world where there is battles, right? Do we know a whole lot about it? Like, not really. It's very difficult to make dogmatic statements on how demons come out or things of this nature. What we have is scripture, and what we have is simplicity. And that's something I think that it's important to hold on to, that things aren't terribly complicated when it comes to Jesus in the spiritual realm. He won, and we walk in his victory. The difficulty comes in, like, in my mind, thinking through all this stuff. But here's the point. We don't war according to the flesh, meaning that if I want to do well spiritually speaking, I can't go and run 53 miles. That's not going to help me. It might help me with discipline in general, right? I understand that. I can't go and lift more weights to become more spiritually strong, although that discipline is undoubtedly helpful. And oftentimes the spiritual discipline and physical discipline go hand in hand. It's not a physical thing. We know that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world. They're not fleshly. But they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Well, what strongholds? What are you talking about, Paul? There are things that there are things in our lives that would be strongholds, areas that we've allowed the enemy to grab a foot on or something like that, an area of sin in our lives, unforgiveness, bitterness, lust. You guys can name it, whatever it might be, addictions to some degree, or to a large degree, sorry. Are these ideas of strongholds, right? Where there's fortifications around, and the enemy or this territory is like God said, wherever you put your foot, it's yours. All right, Lord, I'm going to believe it and trust it. And I've walked through these battles myself and have failed a lot. And I've also seen victory in really neat ways. And you, each of you out there would have stories like that, where there's been so many times where these fortified, so it seems fortified walls. And what does the nation of Israel do? Oh man, I'm so small. The walls are fortified. I look like a grasshopper in their sight. I come up with all these excuses. There's no way I could beat that. There's no way I can like kill the old man like that. So on and so on. We'll get to the old man in a second. And yet you've got Joshua and Caleb's response. Heck yeah, we can. We're well able to do this, right? And so you see these two people, 10 are like, no way. 2 are like, yes. And I feel like that. Like, I feel like there's 10 people saying, there's no way you can do this. And there's 2, right, saying, come on, man, just trust the Lord. Wherever you put your foot, it's yours. But it's like the walls are huge. You don't understand. This is years. This is decades of addiction. This is decades of looking. And this is decades of treating my family like this, or my wife like this, or my husband like this. It's like, man, I don't know. Like, I hear that. Those are some serious strongholds. But let me tell you something. Our weapons are mighty in God. Like, that, we believe this stuff. And either it's true or it's not. It's very simple, you guys. I'm not trying to be tried or like or downplay the difficulty of it. It is very difficult to walk through, but the reality of it is simple enough. Okay, it's going to continue. We have these weapons for the casting down of arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. But casting down arguments. When thoughts come into your head, think back to the garden. Did God really say? An argument now is being taken place, right? Like, there's a debate now going on. Did God really say? There's a challenge to a particular statement, right? And the answer is yes. God really did say that. That would have been the rebuttal. Yes, he did say that. Simple as that, right? Did God really say, casting down arguments, can we really do this? Is this really what God wants me to do? Does he really want me to love my wife like Christ loved the church? That sounds impossible. Almost like I need the Spirit, right? Does God really want me to submit to my husband? He's a doofus. Yes, he does want you to, even though he's a doofus. Pray for him that he becomes undoofused, right? And through the power of the Spirit, that happens, right? And so God can do that. Those are arguments. Any high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, anything that says, I know better, anything that says, I know that's what the Word of God says, but like, man, we've got psychology, or we've got this over here that like, this is archaic and old. Mm-mm. That's not how it goes. There's a world that God has created, man, and he's sovereign over it. And we, guys, listen, we choose to trust him. And the world can get real snazzy and cute with things and have its ways and so on, but it only goes so far. We have something that is endures to the ages, man. His word doesn't return void. Read that in Isaiah this morning. And so we remember this. Any high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, think about Isaiah chapter 28 and Ezekiel 14. Nope, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, where Lucifer like is saying, oh, I'm going to ascend up. I'm going to be like the Most High, exalting itself against the knowledge of God. What we have at our disposal and in Christ, okay, that's the important part, is victory right here. Every place you put your foot, done. It's yours. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, just concerning the territory that God has given us. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? God has given you his Spirit. We'll talk about that in a second. And you are not your own. Did you know that? You are not your own. You probably did, but here it is in Scripture, just in case you were wondering. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Whoa, that's crazy, isn't it? You're not your own. You were bought at a price that God has purchased you, and now you're his. How cool is that? You're his. And guess what? Everywhere you go, he's ordained it and he's given it to you. But it's all in him. Okay, I can't go gallivanting off doing my own thing. It doesn't work that way because I'm not my own. I've been bought at a price. I'm his. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The way we live and the way we walk now, the way we pray and the way we do battle, I can now bring glory to him because I'm his. And you'll find when we get back to Joshua that there's very important promises that God had given dealing with his presence. And we have something so sweet. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. So the first audacious statement, as we're now terming it, was every single place you go is yours. That's wild. Hey, I would say, God, I want to believe that. What do you have for me, Lord? What areas in life do you want me to go? What sin is to be conquered? And then I would believe it. I would just say, God, I'm just going to trust that you'll do this work. Hey, does it mean that you might have to say something to somebody? Does it mean you might have to go in and confess some sin? Or does it mean you might have to go and share the vision that God has given you to somebody? And now all of a sudden you run the risk of looking like a fool, or you run the risk of looking like, oh man, that's crazy. Because if it never comes to fruition, then you're an idiot, right? And you'll be embarrassed. But like, God has put things on your heart. Pray through it, obviously, right? But bring others into it. Is he stirring you up for some ministry? Is he stirring you up for a place? Like, share that. And let people come around you and help, because God said, hey, this is what I have for you. And so we'll navigate through this. Now we get to verse 5. How crazy is this one? No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. That is an audacious statement. No one will be able to stand before you. What that means is no one will be able to beat you. No one can stand before you. And here's what it is. If you can imagine that concept or idea of football or rugby even, these idea of sports where you clash and you hit each other, this is like as you go forward and are taking ground, no one will be able to stop you, right? No one will be able to like move you or deter you or anything of that nature because I am with you, right? Because of him. And there's something really important about that. Is there a responsibility that I have? Yes, it's to stay in Christ, right? It's to be centered on him. It's to continue to abide. It's to continue to hold fast to the hope of the gospel. And to not be moved away from that, right? Continue to enjoy him. Continue to abide in him. Continue to surrender, right? That's what he's asked us to do. Outside of that, I don't know. Like, you're on your own, man. Good luck. In Christ, rest. I will rest in your promises. In him, we have it. No man will be able to stand against you or stand before you. No one will be able to stop you. I just want to point that out. That is audacious, right? That is a very bold statement and brave statement. We're usually timid from saying things like that because then if I'm wrong, I look foolish, right? And so if I make these big, bold claims, like the kind of trash talk that David gave us there in 1 Samuel, then if I lose, then I look bad, right? But in Jesus, we have the ability to be pretty audacious. In Jesus, we have the ability to be pretty bold and to be pretty brave, right? That's what God has given us. I know you guys know these things, but this is an encouragement, right? And it's exciting. I'm just pumped that people show up on Wednesday nights to like hear God's word. Like we get to sit and hear and hopefully that this stuff will be applied to your life in such a way where you'll be able to do some serious damage in the spiritual world and like for the sake of your kids and for other people and souls of people and kingdoms and stuff, right? Like, yes, I want to do that. I want to help God wherever you have me go. No man will be able to stand against you. A couple scriptures that encourage in this way. I love these. Psalm chapter 18, verse 29. At least write it down. That way you can check it out later. You guys will know it. For by you, and it's the Lord, right? The you is the Lord. For by the Lord, by you, I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. But there's no stronghold too big. I'm going to pop on over that thing, right? Because it's nothing compared to him. Because I have him, I can run against a troop. Now, what that means is I can go up against a large group of people and be outnumbered and still deal out some serious damage and win. By the Lord, right? It's all him. Like, so I don't know about you guys, but you grow up listening to this stuff. You grow up going to Sunday school and you grow up hearing about all that God did and so on. And it becomes religious and it becomes like, yes, of course I believe that. But then when it comes to living it out, we live really small lives and we don't take steps to go claim any territory. We don't take steps to really trust in the Lord. We don't take those steps. I'm guilty as well. I like to live safe and within my own confines, you know, and I was first really opened up to this when we were moving to St. Kitts because it was something where it was literally impossible for us to go. It just was. I've never put myself out there like that where, God, this is what you're doing, and we're just going to go for it. We had no money in the bank, and then a kid had given us his tithe, basically. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I was fine with it at the time. but a kid had given us his tithe, and it was the exact amount we needed, down to like $10 or $15 for our plane tickets. For our passports to go to St. Kitts for our kids. And but prior to that, God had told us to buy tickets, one-way tickets. We didn't have passports. We didn't have our house sold. We had nothing. It was a mess. It was horrible, actually. absolutely horrible. It was the worst way. I'll never write a book on going and doing missions work because I'm sure it was all wrong. But we had nothing. Nothing at all. But God said, I want you to buy tickets. I want you to get your passports, right? So we bought tickets, got our passports, and wouldn't you know it, but we were hanging out. In fact, this, 2 or 3 days ago, hung out with a guy named Evers Huggins, who Brandon and Wendy, incredible story. I wish I could go into it all, but I won't. It's kind of the guy who connected first with Brandon and Wendy when they went down to St. Kitts and didn't walk with the Lord at all. And in the last month or two, he got saved. And he came back to the States. He was actually here in Indianapolis at a convention for some stuff, business that he does. And we got to hang out and we were chatting. And I was telling him how I remember sitting in the parking lot of the place. He worked at this place called Automotive Art in St. Kitts. And we were sitting chatting through things and just like, you know, wrestling through stuff. But seeing how God has been so faithful in his life. And now he's super pumped about what God's doing, and I had a point to that story. Psalm 60, verse 12. It was probably really cool, but you know, God's like, hey, I got 15 minutes. Come on, Jordan. I'm getting in the way of him, so I got to move here. Psalm 60, verse 12. Through God, isn't that so sweet? Through God, and the first one was by you, O Lord, or by the Lord. Through God, we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. That's a verse of rest, okay? That's a verse of rest. We apply it to our lives, spiritually speaking, and oftentimes it deals with sin. right? And I think that's a really good way of applying stuff like this. Additionally, though, it also can have areas in ministry where God's calling you. Is anybody being called to go out and make mistakes and say kids, right? Is anybody being called to go plant a church somewhere? Is anybody being called to start a Bible study in a prison or in a jail or whatever it might be? Like, what is God calling you to? And guess what? It's by him we'll do valiantly. We trust him. It is he who will tread down our enemies. The Lord will. All right? Now, in New Testament, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. There's several sections here. 15 through 19 really is the full section. But it's where Jesus makes it clear, nothing, right? Nothing will prevail against it. Nothing. The gates of hell will not prevail against the work that he's doing in the kingdom that he has. That's a promise that we have. And then we have Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Something about faith is really important. That's why he says, above all, faith. Believing in his promises. That's where we gain access to what he has, is by faith. I'm going to choose to believe that God actually means what he said. Yes. Right? We no longer have to heed the old man's fuss. Now, that's an Eric Ludi kind of ism, so if you could say it like that. We no longer have to heed the old man's fuss. The old man is dead, conquered, finished, done. Romans chapter 6, 5 and 6. I'll roll through some of these, but I know you guys like to have them there in your scriptures too. Concerning this very thing, no one will be able to stand against you, not even the old man. That's good news. Romans chapter 6, 5 and 6. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we'll also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Hey, no one can stand against you anymore. Not even the old man. Did you know that? Isn't that great news? Romans chapter 6 will go on to say in verse 11, to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just like reckon it. It's just true. It is. And so God says, reckon it to be so. And as believers, we'd say, all right, Lord, it's okay. It's true. And so then I remind myself of it, right? Like, God, you said it was the way it is. And so I'm just going to trust that it is. Right? It really is as simple as that. Now, it's not a blind faith, because we've already established, like, this stuff is real. This stuff actually happened. But our faith, we're putting in a God who we see. Not with our eye like this, but with, we watched him work. We've seen him impact our hearts. We've seen him work throughout history and prove himself time and again through prophecy, so on and so forth. We don't have to heed the old man's fuss anymore. I don't have to. It's good news. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 20. And I'll read through verse 24. It says this, but you have not so learned in Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You don't have to heed the old man's fuss anymore. And as God would speak to Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. The same is very true for us today as believers. Nothing has to stand in the way any longer. He's conquered it and he's done it. I just want to point out, like, this is truth. Doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean that you'll feel it, but it's truth. And we want to walk in it, okay? Now, this preach is easy. I'm up here. Trust me, I'm convicted. And I want to walk well. And I certainly want to walk better, right? And I want the Lord to have more and more control, the territory of my heart, and have his way in my life. And so I have to do business like that with the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 through 11 deals with the very same thing about the old man, that we don't have to heed his fuss any longer. We've been set free. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, same thing. In fact, I'm going to read this one because it's really good. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. That's what we get to do now because Christ has set us free. And in Jesus, we have this. No longer do I have to live like that. I get to live for the will of God now. This is good news. That means wherever I go, it's mine, right? The Lord has claimed it. And that means that no man can stand against me. Hey, that's good news. It's hard. It's difficult. Are there times where sin gets in the way? Yeah, we'll find out here in a second with AI, right? Where stuff gets in the way and it's like, oh, what happened? And God says, get off the ground, you baby. You're in sin. It's like, oh, you're right. Yeah. So repent, right? Repent and fix it. Like, confess these things to the Lord. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime. Does anybody hear that? You know, we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, like just the flesh. When we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries and drinking parties and abominable idolatries, it's like, man, we've been there. I've wasted plenty of time living that way. And so, like, remember back here, arise, go. Like, okay, yeah, it's time to go. The Lord will be with us. Hey, so. Like, the rest of this is going to go really fast, okay? I will be with you. Isn't that so sweet? I will be with you. Above all, everything we just discussed is made possible by the indwelling of the Spirit and by Jesus Christ. Everything, everything is made possible because of Christ's work of redemption. Everything is made possible because he died on the cross. I'm forgiven. No longer am I at enmity with him, but I have been made whole. I've been connected with the God of the universe, and he now dwells within me. We talked about it on Sunday. It's why it's fun traveling through Acts and Joshua together because it parallels in so many ways. He is with us. He is with us more than he was with Joshua, you guys. He's in us. And he said he'll come upon us. And he said he'll enable us, and he'll do this work for us in and through us as in our hearts individually. With Israel, he dealt with them as a nation. With us as his bride, he deals with us individually. Now, but undoubtedly, we're a body as well, right? And so there's individuals. He comes and dwells within us. The nation of Israel did not have that, you guys. Joshua, yeah, there are some people who were filled with the Spirit in the Old Testament, man. But listen, all of us have access to that now. Every one of us. What an incredible work that God has done. He even said he would. In the last days, I'm going to pour my Spirit out on all flesh. So he's done it, right? Okay, Acts, he's come upon you. Hey, there's more verses here, right? We're at verse 6. The first of these encouragements, there's four of these in this section, in this chapter. Be strong and of good courage. That would be kazakimats, or however Michael King tells me to say it. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and of good courage to go in and fight, yeah? Physically, to divide this land up. There were like 31 hostile empires, depending on who you ask and what historian you look at. And what they consider to be an empire, or a bunch of city-states that were in there. There were a lot of people in this particular area of land. I had a really cool picture to give, but I totally forgot to send it. In this land called Israel, there were a lot of people in there who didn't want to be killed, and who didn't want to let Israel come in. A battle, right? There's an enemy, like we said, who wants to kill you, who wants to steal from you, and who wants to destroy you. But we have one who's come that we'd have life, right? And life abundant. It's all in Christ. That's our victory right there in Jesus. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. But then you'll notice it's repeated here in verse 7, but it's different. Only be strong and what's it say? Very courageous. It's the Hebrew kazak amatz mehod. And there's this very that's stuck in there that you would observe and notice to do all according to the law of Moses, my servant commanded you. Don't turn from the right or to the left. That you will prosper wherever you go. It's harder, so it would seem. Why would God offer an extra encouragement to stay true to what he said, right? To go out and fight? Yeah, that sounds like fun sometimes. Probably to a person who's ignorant like me, right? That sounds like fun. But then there's the mundane of trusting in his word. And fighting like that, he says, be strong and very courageous. He adds an extra oomph. Don't turn from this, right? Joshua knew success by obedience to the law, right? He kept God's word like this. We find it by abiding in Christ. That's where we have it. We find this success. We find this good success as it'll go on. Verse 8, this is the book of the law that shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Great advice, huh? that you may observe to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way very prosperous, and you will have good success. You want to be prosperous and have success? Follow after the Lord. His idea of prosper and success will be different than yours. Probably, right? And so then I adjust to his. Our promises that we have in Christ are just as audacious. Every last bit of it is in him. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. That's the third time. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you believe that? Like, you choose to believe that, right? I will believe that. I want that. I know we know that's true. I know you guys are the stud believers. Like, we believe this to be true. I want to walk in it tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? I want to walk in it the day after tomorrow and so on. Like, help me, God, believe that you're with me wherever I go, and that every place I put my foot is yours, that nobody's going to be able to stand against me. Not because of me. It's because of Christ. It's what he has done. It's in him. Only abiding. That's it. You want this kind of stuff? Hang out with the Lord. Enjoy him. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. For within 3 days, you're going to cross over this Jordan to go in and possess the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Crazy statement, in case anybody's wondering. At this point in time, you guys probably know this. I think I might have mentioned it. But anybody who knows, like you read commentaries, it makes it clear that Jordan at this point in time had been swollen because of all the rain. It was a flood season. And so this wasn't just jumping over. We went backpacking one time at the Big Bend National Park, and it was right on the border of the United States and Mexico. And it was my last backpacking trip with the kids. I know what time it is, okay? I'm getting there. we'll get out of here, I promise. Sorry, Ed. We may not have another time for another song. And I'm really sorry, guys. I just rambled and stuff. But we were backpacking. Why am I telling you? This is a good story. This will be worth it. I'm backpacking, and there's the Rio Grande, right? And what does that word mean? Juan Carlos, what's it mean? Stop. Juan Carlos, what's Rio Grande mean? I can't even hear you. Come on, the Great River. So in your mind, you're probably thinking, this is going to be a great river. Right? Well, we get there, and this is me going into Mexico. That was it. I jumped over in it. That was all there was to it. I jumped over into Mexico, and we had lunch. Really cool story. Not the case here with the Jordan River. It was actually the Rio Grande at the time where it was swollen, and you just didn't walk 3 million people through it, right? But here Joshua's like, hey guys, get ready. We're going to go across the Jordan. There's no bridges, right? There's no bridges. Like, for us, it's like, oh, cool. I'll cross the Ohio River and go to Kentucky anytime I want. Well, imagine with no bridges. I couldn't, right? You wouldn't be able to. Craziness. Like, we miss it, right? Because we're sitting here in 2022 and, like, I don't understand anything. This was crazy. And the Reubenites, I'm going to read this because it's, you know, it's good, but it's okay. And the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and you're going to help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord God is giving to them. Then you can return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So the answer, Joshua said, all that you command us, we'll do. Whatever and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in the things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him, he'll be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. The first time, or the fourth time, it's being said. You guys know the story. These people had chosen to stay on the east side of the Jordan instead of going into what God had promised them. Joe Foch said, I can't remember if I mentioned this before, but Joe Foch said that they were more concerned about making a living than making a life. I thought it was a really sweet summary of that particular section where they had the opportunity to go into exactly what God had for them, but they were content just to be over here. You guys know how this all goes, and we don't want that. We want to go wherever God tells us. Every place our foot goes, it's our. It's like the Lord's like, it's yours, go. You want to have that marriage? You want to love your wife like that? You want to raise up your kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord and watch them follow after Christ? Then do it, right? Like, now listen, it's hard. I get it. Doesn't always work out how you hope it does, right? But we trust the Lord even in those times. But I think that there's some truth that we probably could hold on to here and say, God, if this is what you're doing, I'm going to trust you. I know that because, listen, there's some of you out here who have been like trusting him for like years, decades, and a lot longer than that. And it's hard. It doesn't mean it's easy. I'm not trying to say everything's going to be easy and fun and like rose glasses, right? Nope. Nobody will be able to stand against you. Man, come on. Let's trust that. What is God doing? What has God revealed to you? And what is God stirring up in you? And what can you trust him more for? The old man's dead, right? We don't have to heed his fuss any longer. That's good news. I'm going to walk like that. Okay, I'll be done for now. All right, Lord Jesus, we love you. We need help. We need you. We're so thankful that you have won the victory. Like, these are things that we're so used to and we hear all the time. But I want it to be fresh. And I want to walk tomorrow and the rest of my day like remembering that you have won the victory and that in you we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In you we have all that we could ever need. The spiritual warfare that's out there, the enemy wanting to kill, steal, and destroy from us, Lord, you've given us victory even over that. And so we ask for help, Lord. Are there battles we have to fight? Are there strategies and techniques and so on? Yeah, for sure, Lord, but you've asked us to obey you. You've asked us to yield to you and to submit to you. And so, God, please help us with that. Help us to walk in the power of your Spirit. Fill us up to overflowing. Come upon us and enable us to do battle as you've called us to. To take wherever, whatever place you would have, Lord, and wherever our feet might go, and trust that no one can stand against us. We trust you, Lord Jesus. Use us, I pray. Take this church, this fellowship, stir them up like crazy, Lord, and send them out for your glory and for your kingdom, for the souls of people. Lord, help us to win souls. Help us to help people that are hurting. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.